So I usually would not want to put somebody, you know, I always try to make sure that no matter what we're doing, who we're bringing on the air, they can provide perspective for us. And I do believe that our next guest can do that. Michael Bender is joining us here on KCMO Talk Radio in Kansas City. He'll be here exactly. Oh, he'll be here in a moment. We're getting them all lined up, having a connection issue. But once he's here, he will be here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. His book, Frankly, We Did Win This Election, The Inside Story About How Trump Lost. And I know everyone's going to use this and try to get a hit piece and all these different things and, you know, try to find one little nugget that makes Trump look bad. But we, as always, are trying to go beyond that. We are trying to do more than that. And we're also trying to learn something from it as well. And I think of all the people that did cover this White House under Trump, Michael Bender from the Wall Street Journal was one of the fairer guys who could do that and who could accomplish that. So he will be joining us here in a moment on KCMO Talk Radio. Very much looking forward to that conversation with him because we know what the questions are going to be from some people in more mainstream media. We want to dive into different angles of covering this White House, what it was like, try to get behind the curtain, so to speak, in a way that's, you know, Michael Bender can accomplish and Michael Bender can do. And that's, you know, we can't. So as soon as we can get him on here, we will get him on KCMO Talk Radio. But you probably have seen the headlines, by the way. You have seen a lot of the different things that have been said, and they're all trying to make, you know, Trump look bad. But we want to take a different approach here on KCMO Talk Radio. So 5767710 is how you'll be able to join us as well after we have this conversation with Michael Bender, which is coming up here on 710 AM and 103.7 FM. In the meantime, it's great to be back with you guys. A couple of days away. Thank you to Kevin Keatsman for filling in the last couple of days as well. Did a very good job and appreciate you guys listening, tuning in, being a part of the show, helping him through the show. Mark and John, of course, helping Kevin back through the process. Like riding a bike, though. You know, Kevin did this for 20-some-odd years. He's a pro's pro. Right. He hit the clocks well, Mark. He took care of you on that front?
Yeah, it was fine.
So, okay.
Yeah, it was kind of a... Yeah, like you said, just hopping back on the bike, and we were just, you know, the training wheels, and then he jumped off after the first segment.
Oh, good, 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 good. And that's, you know, that's what you expect, but you take the good with the bad. So that's how it works here on KCMO Talk Radio. good to have him on, though, of course.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, with the sports background and talking to Dayton and everything.
That was great. Yeah, Dayton Moron, and that was outstanding. Let's welcome on Michael Bender, Wall Street Journal, and his book is out. Frankly, We Did Win This Election, The Inside Story About How Trump Lost. Michael, good morning. Thanks for joining us. You know, I really want you to take us behind the curtain a little bit on the administration and your time covering the administration. And just from a 35,000-foot perspective, let's start with this. Did it feel at all at times like the president was overwhelmed by the job? Did he enjoy the job? What was that like covering this White House behind the scenes?
It was like covering this White House behind the scenes. It was three news cycles packed into one every single day. Except, as I told my bosses at the Wall Street Journal, they only paid me for one of them. So, you know, I think he enjoyed it. I think he was overwhelmed by all of the above. It was a harrowing experience trying to keep up with this guy for 4 years and then on the campaign trail. And I think that's one of the things that this book really does here. I think is the only Trump book to date that takes people behind, not only behind the scenes in the Oval Office, but behind the curtains at the campaign where they spent $2 billion, but were still chasing Biden, scrambling to chase Biden at the end. And also, what's unique about this is I embed for 2 years, the last 2 years, with Trump's most hardcore supporters, the people who go to 30, 40, I'm not kidding, more than 50 Trump rallies over and over again to understand the humanity of this political phenomena, what it was about Trump, what it was about these folks who that drew them back time and time again.
What, you know, you obviously spend time, and this is no fault of yours at all. I mean, it's your job, but you spend time in that Beltway bubble, Michael. But then you talk about the fact that, you know, in writing this book, you talk to those folks, and a lot of them are out here in the heartland who go to a lot of these rallies. Why is there such a disconnect between those folks and the Washington, D.C. Beltway, in many ways, across the aisle?
Yeah. No, that's a good, it's a good question, and one I think I have a pretty good perspective on. Yes, I am. I live and work and raising a family in the Beltway, but I'm a Midwestern guy myself. I grew up in Cleveland, went to Ohio State. I have like a very traditional background too. I worked in newspapers in Colorado and Ohio and Florida for over a dozen years before I came to Washington. I wrote about people who I would have to see in the grocery or out in the neighborhood, and you know, that gave me a real important perspective on how to do this job in a fair and accurate way and treat people with, you know, fairness. And I think that, but that that's a long way to say, I think it is that idea of the echo chamber. And there is so much journalism in Washington that's written for each other, you know, for ourselves, that, you know, that only insiders would understand or appreciate or get. And I think that it reflects the politics as well. I mean, how many people have we sent to Congress who are not interested in what committees they get on or working their way up in seniority or how to pass a bill, but how to get on Fox News or what's going to get them on MSNBC and, you know, how to build a communications operation and not a policy shop.
You know, it's interesting, Michael. You talk about your background, and your background is much more in line with, let's say, a Trump voter than even Donald Trump's background is, right? And you talk about a guy grew up in New York City, a billionaire, mogul, all these different things. So what is it in covering Trump for all the years that you did, what is it about him that made him so uniquely able to connect with people that theoretically we would think he should have no connection with?
Yeah, no, it's a very, very good question. And I think there's it's a long answer and one that I try to explain here in the book. You know, the book is beyond 2020. A lot of my context of covering him and I did do a lot of reporting on his upbringing and his early races. And it starts with the Trump sees himself as an outsider, right? He grew up in Queens. He's a quote unquote bridge and tunnel guy who wanted to, you know, make his name in Manhattan and had to fight and scratch his way up to do that. And in a lot of ways, you know, figured out how to do that through through tabloid headlines and playing that game. So he's got that chip on his shoulder. You know, he wasn't allowed into some of the WASPy country clubs that the other Manhattan families who were in the real estate game went to. So he's, you know, that's part of it. And, you know, that comes out when in the sort of, non-political correct way he speaks, to put it gently, I think. And the people identify that with that. And the people I got really close to and helped me with this book, who, you know, these loyal rally goers, for them, Trump gave them not just a voice in the White House, but courage to speak out for themselves, and not just in the political arena, but, you know, at work in their Walmart job, in that patio and garden department, where they would speak out and tell the boss what they wanted and not, you know, let the schedule get made around them, tell them what day they wanted to work, be more affirmative in their own relationships. And it really made their lives richer and fuller, where they met, you know, on the road, they met other Trump rally goers, they became friends. A couple of them married, have since divorced, but, you know, so it goes. But they traveled together, went on the road together, shared hotel rooms, stayed at each other's houses on the road, and some of them, you know, were misled too by this president. I talked to a one man who, he was so sick, he was convinced he had COVID. He thought he was on his deathbed. He refused to go to the hospital. Why? Because he didn't want to get tested and turn positive and add to Trump's numbers. That's how loyal he felt to this president, which, they're willing to put his own health at risk.
Interesting. We're being joined by Michael Bender, Wall Street Journal. His book is out. Frankly, we did win this election, the inside story about how Trump lost. Michael, do you think that Trump regrets having run, knowing that everything that's gone on and how history may ultimately portray him by some? Is that something that bothers him, and would that cause any regrets based on the guy that you know and covered?
I have rarely uncovered any regrets from Donald Trump. To be pretty clear about that, I one area I think he has some regrets about it, though, is January 6th. And I've talked to people who spoke to him right after he returned to Mar-a-Lago, and he was asking a bunch of questions to people of, you know, the very Trumpian questions of, like, do you think I should run again, that sort of thing. But also, questions of that did suggest some measure of remorse or vulnerability or reflection that I was unused to, which was that asking people, you don't think I wanted them to attack the Capitol, do you? You don't think I would want them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So it was an interesting, moment there where I think Trump was definitely in transition, not just politically, but very personally, too.
And last thing, Michael, who's the one person that had more? We know that, Trump did what Trump wanted to do, but who's the one person who maybe had more sway or more influence on this president who maybe didn't get enough credit over the last 4 years and who was not talked about enough?
Yeah, I think the most fascinating characters for me in this book, as I was writing it, I would say three. One is Mark Milley in the administration, where, really pushing back on the president when it comes to wanting to send troops into the American cities. Ronna McDaniel, who's the head of the Republican Party, a suburban a mom from Michigan, who is very clear and concise at points with Trump and becomes kind of an unlikely advisor to Trump, becomes very, very close to the president. Obviously, she's the chair of the Republican Party, but she's not family. She didn't know Trump before he took office. And, those things have not those have been kind of key characteristics to be in including in Trump's inner circle. And the other one I would point out for a deep cut here is a woman by the name of Susie Wiles, who is maybe the most important Republican figure in Florida for the past decade, who runs Trump's campaign in Florida in 2016 and in 2020, and is the only state that Trump wins twice and expands his margin in. Mm-hmm. And I detail this in the book about how she kind of takes the reins herself and cuts out middlemen between her and Trump to get things done, and jumps over the kind of infighting that Trump was not being well served by.
Very interesting. And then real quick, what are the odds? What do you put the odds at, knowing the guy like you do, that he wants to, or we know he wants to do it, that he does do it in 2024 and run again?
Well, I would see 50-50, I guess. I mean, he's going to have to wait to see what happens in 2022. He's made two dozen endorsements from U.S. Senate to Staten Island borough president, and a lot of Republican primaries he's backing incumbents, and that's backing primary challenges for incumbents, and it's not easy to knock someone out of a seat. I mean, even for a popular former president in the party. So those are going to be important data points for him when he makes that decision.
Michael Bender, the book is Frankly, We Did Win This Election, The Inside Story of How Trump Lost, Wall Street Journal Senior White House Correspondent. Michael, thank you for being here in Kansas City. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Michael Bender on KCMO Talk Radio.